Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
What is up? It is your favorite personal trainer, Liz King, back with another episode here at Made for Me Fitness. Wow, guys, sorry for the scary title, huh? I just wanted to wake you up a little today so that you all think of me later tonight in bed when you're trying to go to sleep. I know saying that sleep deprivation is killing your gains seems a little bit dramatic, but over time, sleep deprivation can absolutely ruin your progress and lead to other health problems that no one wants to deal with. But have no fear, my perfect little angels, we are going to learn so much today about how sleep affects us and what we can do to help ourselves get better sleep and build the perfect nighttime routine. Some of you may have chronic and very serious sleep problems that require medication and sedation, basically. I see you. I understand that sometimes sleep just can't happen naturally and chemically for everybody, but I do hope that implementing some of these tips can help in some way and at least just give you a cool-ass nighttime routine before bed that can help you feel good. So let's get into why sleep deprivation is so bad. Sleep deprivation studies have consistently and constantly demonstrate negative impacts on cognitive, emotional, and physical health. Things like memory, attention, and decision-making are impaired, while even your emotional well-being is negatively affected due to things like increased anxiety, irritability, and even depression. Your physical health is also impacted with tons of links to cardiovascular disease, hypertension, and metabolic issues, not to mention it's killing your gains through interrupting muscle repair, glycogen storage, hormone imbalance, limiting your endurance, and increasing the risk of injury and likelihood of weight gain. Yikes, right out the gate with it. Man, I love a sleep study. Nothing is sassier than a sleep deprivation case study or publication. They're all pretty much saying, hey, stupid, we just did another study on top of the thousands of studies we've already done that once again proves that if you don't start sleeping better, your existence will be miserable. I swear I can hear them. I can feel them rolling their eyes through my screen. They're like, ugh. You again. So let's dive a little deeper into what these side effects actually look like, because anyone can hear a big old list of negative side effects, but I sure do love to break things down and make it more relatable to you and to me so that we can say, oh my god, that's so me, I do that. Or maybe it's not even something you need to worry about. Maybe you don't do any of these things and you're perfect, and that's great. We all need a little clarity regardless. So let's start with the cognitive effects of sleep deprivation. The first thing is impaired memory, which is so real. Even short-term sleep deprivation can negatively affect the ability to hold on to new memories and consolidate existing ones. Tons of studies have shown that sleep-deprived individuals experience reduced activity in the hippocampus. And that's the region of our brain that is used for memory formation. It's also used to help fight anxiety, depression. That's where our serotonin, our dopamine lives. So it's definitely not the part of our brain that we want to mess with. Lack of sleep also reduces your attention and focus. If you've ever been tired and made a lot of mistakes at work or have a hard time concentrating or just sticking to the plan, that could be because of a bad night's sleep. It causes decreased cognitive flexibility. It can hinder the ability to adapt to changing situations and your flexibility in how you handle things. You've been there. We've all been there. Those minor inconveniences that just set you off. You trip over your shoe, bang your hip on the counter. can't find the tiny lip gloss in the bottom of your purse and you just want to slam it against the ground, the bag falls off your shoulder. Ugh. Your meeting at 4 got moved up to 12. It's much earlier than you expected. Normally, you can brush these things off no problem. No big deal. No biggie. But tired you? Tired you will become frustrated immediately. And what happens? Then we label the day as a bad day, or it's just one of those days. And it kind of sets the tone for the rest of the day that you're just surviving and you're not thriving, which can affect the foods that you choose, your exercise and quality of that exercise as well, and also quality of life over time, especially if this is something that happens every day due to improper sleeping patterns. Now, those are just the cognitive effects. Now let's get into the emotional effects. Even short periods of sleep loss can lead to increased anxiety and emotional sensitivity, which means you're going to feel a lot of fluctuations in your mood. There's also an increased tendency to experience negative emotions like sadness, worry, and stress. And look, I'm all about feeling your feelings. I know people lack sleep for numerous reasons or situations that make things difficult. However, if you are not getting enough sleep just because you're not really planning your day accordingly and setting yourself up with routines that help that, and you're feeling those negative emotions day after day, that's something you're kind of choosing to do, right? If we have control over something, we want to take that opportunity because there's so many things in life that we don't have control over. So if getting to bed a little earlier is a way to just make your day-to-day a little easier, a little happier, that over time makes a huge difference. The tricky thing is that in the moment, it won't feel like you're just moody for no reason or because you're just tired. Your brain is very powerful at filling in the blanks. So you'll believe that these feelings are a result of your life's circumstances or things that are going on around you that you don't have control over, and that's just not true. I think all of you are powerful enough to change your lives regardless of how difficult it can be because you can do hard things. I know each and every one of you can do hard things, okay? So all of this is really affecting our ability to create positive thoughts and positive habits. So it's kind of this blocker. There's only so far you can get while not getting enough sleep, which is so crazy to me. So let's get into the physical effects now, too. Physical effects include cardiovascular issues. It's been linked to an increase of hypertension, which is high blood pressure, cardiovascular disease, and a lot of increased risk of heart problems, which is fucking scary, guys. Like, that is so scary. I think when I was younger, I really didn't I just didn't care about things like that. But now that I'm 32, I can kind of feel it. As you get more attuned to your body and what it needs, you kind of feel this stuff. You become kind of sensitive to it, which is very cool because I think it's something that we really need to start listening to. So the other physical effects include metabolic problems as well. As a society, we are obsessed with our metabolism. And we should be, because chronic sleep loss can contribute to a lot of metabolic issues that do include weight gain, insulin resistance, and type 2 diabetes. It also disrupts leptin, which is a hormone that regulates appetite and your energy balance throughout the day. So lack of sleep leads to a decrease in leptin levels. And what that does is it causes increased hunger and cravings during the day, which most likely will contribute to weight gain. If you're running low on energy because you're not sleeping well, your body will find a way to increase energy through food. And it's always fast delivering energy food because it's typically through sugars, carbs, and foods that spike your blood sugar, which is why you'll have worse cravings and cravings for things that probably aren't going to align with your goals and your plan. So especially if you are trying to lose weight, messing with these leptin levels and potentially risking these extra metabolic problems just from not sleeping well, so not worth it. And there's also this thing called diminishing returns. So you might not be getting the full benefit from your workouts if your body hasn't recovered fully from the previous exercise session, due to the lack of sleep. Sleep is crucial for muscle repair and growth. And when we're sleep deprived, your muscles are not recovering properly, which is going to hinder your progress. And that is something that could potentially lead to overtraining. Yes, not sleeping enough can negatively affect muscle growth. It does. It's so good for muscle recovery and growth because that's when your body is going to release hormones like the human growth hormone, which is vital for muscle repair and growth. If we are not recovering enough to build, it's going to break down. And it could even cause muscle loss over time. We do not want that, especially if we're in the gym, we're fighting so hard to get an ounce of strength, right? Losing that just from sleep habits is just, again, not worth it, right? It also can reduce your performance. So your physical performance in the gym and in your workouts is gonna lack. You're not gonna be able to push yourself as hard, as easily as you would have you gotten the right nutrition, right amount of sleep, right amount of anything. So when you are incorporating progressive overload, if you're really trying to change your body composition and grow and get stronger, you gotta sleep. You gotta sleep, guys. Alrighty then. So you're getting the sense that this is kind of a big deal, right? And yet this is something that's never really taught or prioritized enough as a society. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe if you had a family that was very pro-sleep, things may be different for you, but let me ask you something. Did you grow up in a sleep-positive household or a sleep-negative household? Did your parents let you sleep in and nap and take time to sleep and encourage you to sleep when it was needed, or did they think that sleeping too much or too long was a bad thing? Did they think that you were lazy, that you were wasting your day, that you were undisciplined, and all of those things? Take a little rewind and figure out what you were kind of taught as a kid. What did you grow up around? Like, what was the vibe around sleep? I'm from a sleep negative family. Anytime I would sleep past 8, you'd always expect to hear, wow, look who's finally up, the day's almost over, and yes, they're classic dad remarks. I like to think my family is funny, and they're joking, but at the same time, I don't think I've ever really heard, oh, you should be getting more sleep, or you were probably so tired, or you must have needed it. To my dad, sleeping was a weakness. If you slept in, you basically missed out on the whole day, which is funny now because I wake up at 5 and I kind of get it. He had a point, still has one. And I do value that. But as a kid, I didn't care. I didn't give a shit. I didn't have a job. I didn't have bills. I didn't have to squeeze in time before work for myself. Like, everything I did was for my fucking self. So it didn't really matter to me. I was just enjoying life. I just existed in the moment. And I remember my mom begging me to get up and just coming back into my room every 30 minutes saying, come on, Lizzie, time to get up, time to start the day. Come on, Lizzie, come get up, time to start the day. Again and again and again. So I'd say my family was kind of 50-50. My mom is a lot more lenient. My dad just kind of had his own way of doing things and whatever. And also, if you're in college, you might be staying up all night, partying or studying. Also, work culture is not super pro-sleep. Like, if you sleep in, it's because you're a mess, you're lazy, you're unreliable. So your culture, where you grow up with, your surroundings can heavily determine how you value sleep. Like, all-nighters shouldn't be a thing. You know what I mean? If you're pulled an all-nighter and you're like, yeah, I've been up for like 72 hours straight. We also have kind of like an Adderall problem too, right? A lot of people just take Adderall to stay up and get things done and like, we just don't value sleep as a society. I can't just call out of work and be like, I really had to sleep today. And they're like, oh yeah, like, don't want to mess that up because you don't want heart problems or all these other negative side effects. Like, that's just not a thing. So there's a lot of societal sleep shame. Just take into consideration where you're from. I know that in Europe, they eat dinner and stay up super late, places like France and Spain. So there's many factors that play into our sleep habits and they make it more difficult to change. So embarking on the sleep journey means that you might have to rewire how you think and feel about sleep and make the conscious choice for yourself. With all of this to consider, here is how we are going to build the perfect nighttime routine in order to get the best sleep and optimize our body's functions so we can get results and be as successful as possible with our fitness journey. This is where we get out our notes, guys. This is where we're going to write it down. And guys, I want you to write the things down that you're going to work on. Take a picture and DM it to me. I'm going to post it on my story. I'm going to repost every DM I get because nothing makes me happier than you guys taking action. And yes, that action can be as simple as just writing it down, setting the intention, hanging it up on your fridge, just something to remind you that this is something that you want to start implementing. And it just makes me feel like you're really locking in. So send it to me. Like, I love to see it. I love to talk to you guys. So always feel free to reach out to me. So the first and most important part of building your nighttime routine is establishing a consistent sleep schedule. You are going to be dedicated to going to bed and waking up at the same time every single day, even on weekends. This is to regulate your body's natural sleep-wake cycle we know as the circadian rhythm. You are going to aim for 7 to 9 hours of sleep per night. So this also means avoid napping late in the day or for extended periods of time. Now, just a warning, this may tie into waking up earlier. Hear me out. Training your sleep cycle requires you to become tired a little earlier and tired around the same time every day. So the first few weeks or maybe even month of sleep training, you're going to have to force yourself to maybe wake up a little earlier at the exact same time every day so that you are actually tired enough to go to bed at the same time every night. I know my night owls out there are clutching their pearls right now because many of you may deal with a little sleep procrastination as a way to take back your time during the day because you feel like you've lost a lot of time and a lot of your life to maybe work or other life responsibilities that aren't really fueling you in a positive way. And even if you love your job, it's still a lot of energy. It's still a lot of work. It's easy to feel drained and feel like you never have enough time to just chill. So it can be hard to part with that extra 3 to 5 hours that you're giving yourself by staying up until 12 or 1 a.m. But I'm not asking you to part with that time. I'm asking you to relocate it to the morning. At least some of it to the morning. And that way you're actually spending the time of the day when you have the most energy, the most cognitive abilities, and giving that to yourself instead of just rolling out of bed and scrambling to get ready for work in the morning. I promise you, everything that you stay up late doing, majority of it you can do in the morning. Getting in that 7 to 9 hours is definitely going to be tricky at first. It took me 3 full months to actually get into a really solid cycle because I wake up at 5 a.m., which means I should be in bed by 8:30. It's more like 9:30. So, you know, I still have some work to do too. But yeah, I know I'm like 100 years old. But truthfully, I came to the realization that I'm not missing out on anything, because what was I doing after 8:30 anyways? Realistically, I'm just racking up my screen time, watching TV, doom scrolling. My brain is pretty toasted at that point anyways, so I'm not really doing anything that improves my life or well-being. Don't get me wrong, there's totally time for that type of relaxation. Like, it's not all toxic, that's not what I'm saying, but check your screen time. We really don't need to be spending that many hours behind screens. And I honestly believe that it's the reason that most of us struggle mentally so much now these days. So I'm going to be real with you. Unless you work late or are a server, bartender, or just have a schedule that requires you to be up late at your job or anything like that, you know, other than aside from the responsibilities that keep our life going and flowing and making us money, most of us are just dissociating on our phones or through TV or through video games or stuff that can be done in a different type of way or done in a little bit more moderation, but it's not something that is going to really help us feel more relaxed or improve our quality of life. So you may have to shift your priorities. Again, I'm not saying that that's all bad. There is a time and place for it, but maybe if that's the reason why you're just not getting enough sleep, you just have to shift when it's happening, how much it's happening, so that you can get the best of both worlds. Now, number two, in the perfect nighttime routine, you're going to optimize your sleep environment. Guys, make your room a place you want to be in. hang up those curtains, get the pretty bedding, get all the mood lighting, get the heating pad, get the humidifier, make this place your fucking sanctuary. Pinterest the cutest bedroom you've ever freaking seen, but copy it. Get all the stuff that makes it beautiful and amazing and cozy. Make your room a place that will make you happy. You're going to want to be in bed a half hour before you're actually asleep. So create an environment you want to be in that you can kind of look forward to setting up and getting cozy in. Otherwise, you want to make sure you have the blackout curtains as well, so you're not getting unplanned light disturbances in the night. Also, just find a good temperature that you can set if possible. Having a fan turned on with some moving air is really good. It can help circulate everything. Also provides a little bit of white noise, which is good, so fans are really good. Play sleep sounds. Reduce randomized noises you might hear throughout the night, or get some earplugs. You don't even need a noise machine either. I play sleep sounds from Spotify every night, and I can change it to whatever I want. A little secret about me is that my chosen sleep sound is frogs. I know, I'm a freak, but it reminds me of sleeping in my childhood home. I would always hear crickets and frogs croaking in the distance when I was sleeping with my window open. And it just makes me feel good. I feel like a kid. I'm in the moment. I don't have shit to worry about. I didn't have responsibilities. So it just makes me feel instantly relaxed. It brings me back to that moment and I can really put myself there. And I'm like, I have nothing to worry about. I just have to close my eyes and I'm good. Also, optimize your bedding. Ensure your bed and pillows are comfortable and supportive. This is really important. And if you don't have a comfortable bed, it's time to get one. I know it can seem like a big deal, and it's kind of a hard decision to make. It seems like a really big commitment to commit to one bed for like the next 6 years, especially now we get most things from online, or like you'd still have to go into a mattress store and like lay on all of them, and it's like kind of awkward. I don't know. The whole thing is just, it's not smooth sailing getting a new bed. But what we can do is we can find recommendations, ask your friends, ask your family, because that's how I always get the best information. It's just somebody I know is like, oh yeah, I had the same thing happen to me and this is what I did. So I'm gonna be here for you in this moment. When I was single and I had to get a bed for myself, and I really didn't have that much money to spend on one, I just got the Wayfair bed. It has like 4,000 five-star reviews. Oh, no, it's like 40,000. It's something insane. There's a lot of really good reviews, and all of my roommates at the time had it, and they're like, yeah, it was just cheap, and it's like so good. You can also just get a mattress topper. And it was amazing. I threw out my old ass bed, and I got this new one, and it was like night and day. It made such a big difference. And it was like $400 for a queen, which I know can be a little pricey, but they do have payment plans that you can do. Also, returns are really easy. I swear to God, this is not an ad, like I swear. But I do suggest it to everybody because I know upgrading a bed can be really expensive and really, really stressful. So I just want to like extend the, like, this is what I had to do when I didn't have a lot of money. And I like was really started, my bed was like, it literally had like a hole in the middle of it, you know, when it like, it kind of like caves in the middle, and it was a whole thing. Yeah, it was bad. So I feel like I felt so good when I was able to do this for myself and it changed my life. So I just want to put it out there for you and, you know, Wayfair, throw me a bone. Now on to the third step. We want to engage in calming activities like reading, maybe taking a warm bath or shower, or listening to soothing music before bed. So we have to avoid stimulating activities like watching TV, using our phones, at least an hour before bed. Also doing like really hard workouts right before bed is not really recommended. To me, I'm like, get it in whenever. Sometimes it's just a late night workout and it is what it is. But I'd say like consistently, if you're working out at 10 p.m., that might not be helping you. This one I definitely find the hardest. I'm a scroller. I love to watch stupid and funny things before bed. It's my favorite pastime. I got the Ultra Human Ring and it's awesome, but every night it thinks that I drink coffee before bed. Because it's basically saying that I have late night stimulants, and it can tell by my heart rate and my pulse and my blood pressure. There's no escaping it. Like, it knows everything about me. Like, I can't bullshit this rang. Late night stimulants, anything that keeps you up, it prevents your heart rate from dropping all the way, which is why you don't feel like you're getting the most restful sleep. My mind is blown. So I'm on my like sleep tracking journey right now. And it's truly the information that you can get from one of these tracking devices is amazing. But like everything, you gotta take baby steps. The thought of me scrolling and watching bullshit in the bed gets me to bed. I look forward to it. So I think it's okay to pick your battles. I think that's okay. We have to make this feel a little bit of a treat and that it's helping our health and has all these benefits. And we can still enjoy these things, right? But we're kind of using it. So use your doom scroll to get your ass to bed. Depriving yourself of everything and just telling yourself to go to bed is not gonna work. That's like your mom telling you to go to bed. But what we wanna add to it is practicing relaxation techniques like deep breathing, meditation, and mindfulness. I know it sounds so lame, but this is an elite level sleeper, a veteran, if you will. And I've done this a few times. Let me tell you, it really worked. I didn't even want it to work, and it worked. I would put on some music and journal for a bit and read, put on a guided meditation, and it's one of those things you do, and you're like, wow, I need to do this every day. It feels so good. Why haven't I tried this earlier? This is me. I feel so good. And then you literally never do it again. Like, that's what happened to me, and this is what happens every time. So I'm right here with you guys, okay? So this one can come with time, and what I want you to do is habit stack something like this, one of these techniques, with something that you already do. That's just part of your habits, right? So you can scroll for a bit, but then you're also going to compromise by listening to a 5-minute sleep meditation, or maybe you're listening to soothing music at the same time and not having it on full blast volume. So you can kind of blend these for a little bit, I think, and that can help you get used to it so it doesn't feel like you have to give up absolutely everything. And I can't stress this enough, make it enjoyable. I want you to get the baby light projector that projects the little, like the flowing water light show on your ceiling. I want you to get the humidifier. I want you to light the candle. Like, I want you to make this amazing, an amazing experience, so that you're not just zoning out on the couch and just feeling more tired and feeling more drained. Like, just make it something kind of special that you do so that it makes you want to do it. And last but not least, as a part of a routine, if you are continuing to have trouble sleeping, please consider consulting a doctor. To rule out any underlying medical conditions or sleep disorders like insomnia or sleep apnea. Guys, if you can't sleep, don't be afraid to get medicated. I obviously take your time to research side effects and try natural ways, but if you've had chronic insomnia, take those sleeping pills. Truly, if nothing else works, do therapy, even practicing, doubling down on everything that we just listed for a while. Regardless of all of that, sometimes for some of us, it just can't happen. And the medication is there to really help. And I'm not telling you to start a lifelong addiction to sleeping pills, but if you've truly tried everything, do it. Talk to your doctor, try to find the safest way to do things and get medicated for any problems that you might have. But I still want you to implement these kinds of techniques because it's going to help so that you don't have a full reliance and dependence on these things. I still want you to take the action to creating this nighttime routine because it's also just going to help you mentally feel better in general. So regardless, if this is kind of the last resort for you, I'm pro modern medicine in the ways that when it comes down to it, take it. It's there, and that's what it's there for, okay? We have the ability, we have the science to do this, which is really cool. So might be something that some of you want to look into. Feel no shame. There's no shame in taking anything like that. So let's talk about how we're gonna just apply this to our life. I want you to pick 3 things from the list we just created to incorporate this week. One of them has to be waking up at the same time every day and trying to go to bed at the same time every day. So normally if you wake up at 8, start waking up at 7 because you need to be a little bit more tired so you can start going to bed earlier. And the other 2 habits you're going to focus on are totally up to you. So whatever you felt like sparked your interest the most during this conversation, take those two things on top of the waking up at the same time every day and start to implement them. Write them down. I want to see these lists, people. I want to see this action. And let it happen. Let yourself practice. Let yourself get better at it day after day. And if you master all these, you are going to be a sleeping legend, okay? Your training will be optimized. Your cognitive abilities will be optimized. Like, you're just going to feel better in general. And that's all we want to do at the end of the day. We just want to feel good. So I really think these things will help you. If you still struggle with knowing what to do, how to build these habits, and getting into routines that will actually get you results and improve your quality of life, sign up for my 90-day transformation program where I'll be your trainer and habit coach to help give you the best workout programs, nutrition programs, and work on those habits that will help you be successful long-term. No more guessing, no more scrolling. I'm here with you every step of the way as your virtual trainer to help you thrive in every way possible. So that is it for today, guys. I hope you got your list and are going to implement some strategies to help you get more sleep and have a routine you can really look forward to and keep making our lives a little better one step at a time. But until next week, bye!